Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone. Yes, we will glorify him. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And no matter what is happening to us in our lives, we can always trust that everything is in his hands. Welcome, everyone, to our worship this evening. I am your host, as ever, the Reverend Bishop Christina Rake, and I am very thrilled to be with you this evening. Tonight, we have a very special homily during our worship called Waiting on God. How can you wait for God to come and rescue you and give you your miracle when the world is burning all around you? We'll talk about that during worship tonight. Before we begin, I want to welcome you. The Charismatic Universalist Church is a community that follows the theology of the earliest church in the first, second, and third centuries. Because of this, our theology is solidly Catholic, which was the theology of the Christian church during those ages. However, we've gone back to that theology and sort of rescued it. We do not have all the answers, and I don't presume to be more intelligent than the 2,000 years of great thinkers like St. Augustine or Thomas Aquinas. I don't have the holiness of St. Benedict. I don't have the compassion of St. Francis. However, we are a church that is independently Catholic theologically, conservative theologically and liturgically, and yet we'd sort of be cast as social liberals because we call everyone to the sacraments, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, or marital status. So while we venerate the Virgin Mary, honor the saints, pray for the dead, and believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, we also uphold what Jesus himself taught. A lot of people go with St. Paul, who was more exclusive in a lot of instances, inclusive in others, but he was not our Savior. Jesus was. And because of this, We defy categorization. We are simply a community who are open and welcoming, bringing compassion to the world, and continuing in the long tradition of truth that belongs to the First Christian Church and the Catholic theology that has developed over 2,000 years. So I welcome you here. You can contact me if you're in Northern Illinois for baptisms, for marriages. I do marry gay couples, straight couples. You can contact me for membership if you're in this area. If I perform a wedding for you, I can do a short version of a wedding, or I can do a full mass for you, which I know a lot of people who are excluded from the Catholic Church because of their sexual orientation or because of their marital status would like to have that beautiful liturgy and yet can't. And so we offer that to you because we don't believe in protecting God from sinners. That's not the way it works. You can contact me at charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Charismatic Universalist Church, and you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Bishop Rake. We do accept donations to further this ministry. I don't take a salary. Our goal right now is to gather enough money to begin physical worship at a community center nearby. And I hope that you'll join us in that dream. You can donate to us on PayPal with our email address, charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. And we do have gifts for certain donations. For $5, you can get a Blessed St. Benedict medal, also called the Exorcist's medal. For $20, you can get a beautiful Blessed Rosary. And for $35, you can get a brand new Bible, which is the exact same one that I use in my studies and at the sermon. On Sunday evening, tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we have episode 4 of our How to Pray series. This episode is about intercession, praying for others. We'll discuss the saints, we'll discuss prayer for the dead, and we'll talk about physically how does prayer work when you pray for someone else. So we'll talk about that. And then on Wednesday during the day, I believe it's at 11 a.m., and I apologize if I'm not sure, I can't look at it right now. We have our continuing New Testament Foundations class, a college-level class on the New Testament. If you ever wanted to learn about the Bible, you want to take these classes because they're very easy to understand, and yet they're very in-depth. You will know more about your Bible at the end of this than your pastor, I assure you. All right, that's all I have for you folks. The announcements are over, and we shall begin worship. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to his people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King. O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we need you now more than ever. Think on your people this day and bring us into the goodness of your sacred heart. Love us, Lord, and help us to feel your love here on earth while we wait in fervent hope of being with you forever in heaven. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision clearly upon the tablets, so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our responsorial psalm is Psalm 95. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us acclaim the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us joyfully sing psalms to him. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us, for he is our God, and we are the people he shepherds, the flock he guides. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen all of my works. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Our second reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Take as your norm the sound words that you heard from me in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at the table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron, and wait on me while I eat and drink? You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Through the words of the Gospel, may our sins be wiped away. Well, that was certainly a set of readings, wasn't it? What was the theme of all of those readings? Well, we'll get to the gospel. It may be a little bit difficult to see what Jesus is talking about there. But the theme is, why won't God fix this? Why is this happening to me? Why won't you rescue me? When we read Habakkuk, we must feel as he felt, looking at Israel in the 7th century BC, because at that time it lay in exile and ruin. And Habakkuk looks at the people and says, why does God not intervene? Why are we crying out violence against us with no end in sight? I mean, with no answer. He's looking out there screaming, look at what they're doing to me. God does not show up. But what's wonderful about Habakkuk, and I love this, is the vision I have for you has its time. It presses on to fulfillment, and it will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. Isn't that neat? You know, we forget that God's time isn't our time. When we feel an hour pass, God feels nothing pass. It's completely different. The psalm tells us that we cannot be like the Israelites in the desert who complained against God. I mean, if you remember in the Exodus, they're walking, and you can hear yourself in this story. Oh, Moses, why? You brought us out in the desert to die. It was so much better when we were slaves in Egypt. At least we had food. We're free, but it's hard. We want to go back to being slaves. It was easier. It was easier. And then Paul reminds us through ordination or confirmation, when he talks about the imposition of hands, he is talking about either ordination, which Timothy has, he is a priest, or confirmation, membership in the church, when you've received the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying is, it was given to us, that Holy Spirit, through the imposition of hands, to give us strength to bear trials for the sake of our faith. He says you have to have self-control. Even Habakkuk says, the rash person, meaning the one who has no patience and moves impulsively regardless of what they're told, they have no integrity. The one who gives up immediately, as soon as hardship settles in, that's the rash person. Oh, I give up. And look at John 6. Jesus says adamantly that you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, or you can't have eternal life. And what happens? Well, just before he says this, he multiplies the loaves and the fishes, and they eat, and it's a miracle, and yay, Jesus. And then he says something that's hard to understand. And they're like, yay, Jesus, wait, what? All right, we're out of here. And that quickly, that rash. Oh, no, that isn't logical. That's hard. I'm out of here. Isn't that what we're all like? And then in the gospel, Jesus sounds very harsh. I mean, think about this. In the gospel, the servant comes in from tending sheep, and Jesus says, you don't tell him to come and sit right down. You tell him, come in here and serve me. Let me eat and drink, and then you get it later. And then after you're done, you're still an unprofitable servant because you only did what you were supposed to do. You didn't do any more than that. And my God, that sounds so harsh. But when you look at our theme in these readings, we understand what he's saying. The servant wants to eat. The servant wants the good things of his master. All right, I worked. I want to sit down at your sumptuous table and dine. All right, he wants it easy. But God says, you'll toil. And then, as much as you like to just plop down in luxury, you're going to work some more. And then when you're done and you've gutted through the hardship, you will only ever be able to say that you were an unprofitable servant. You didn't accomplish anything except making it through. St. Paul says, when you are fighting the powers of this world, in the end, the only thing you can do is just stand. Just stand. And that's the crux and a huge problem for people. And I've done homilies on this before. Why do I suffer? Right, why does the world just hit me again? And again, and again. And let me tell you a story about my own personal experience. There's a lot of politics involved in my husband's work. And we've just suffered miserably. Just miserably. When you work for government, you can't get away from it. And over and over and over again, we're good and we're loyal. And we work hard, and we get screwed. There's no other way to put it. And that's just the way it works. And my husband just got bowled over, by someone who just swooped right in and may steal his retirement because of the way rules work. Can I just tell you how much I want certain people in my life to just get hit by a bus? And you do too. I know you do. We all do. And I truly want that sometimes. And I confess that sin. It is a sin to want someone else to get hurt so you can have what you wanted. But God won't do that. And sometimes it seems as if God is just relentless. Hardship after hardship, illness and cancer and injustice and rotten narcissistic assholes all around you. It never, ever, 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 ever ends. Does it? No, it doesn't. And then add to it that you're a Christian. And you start to feel more helpless because you can't go out there and do what other people can do. You, like that servant, will be commanded to keep at it. And that's hard. I wish I could go out into that world and take and take and take and take from these rotten people that I'm surrounded by sometimes, but I can't. I can't. I have been commanded by God to serve Him, and that means to bear the beating. Take the beating. There's this great line from a new movie by Ben Affleck, and I'm sure if you've seen the commercial, you've heard him say this. He says, you know, when your boss has given you everything you've ever wanted and he tells you to go out and take a beating, you go out and you take that beating and you come back to him and say, sir, do you need me to do it again? And that's what we have to do. God wants us to go out there, and even though we take that beating, we need to come back to him as he sits at the table and say, I did it once, sir. Do you need me to do it again? I came in from the field. What else can I do? Serve me a table. And then you bow and you do. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel like the psalmist in Psalm 55. Listen to this. Listen, God, to my prayer. Do not hide from my pleading. Hear me and give answer. I rock with grief. I groan at the uproar of the enemy, the clamor of the wicked. They heap trouble upon me, savagely accuse me. My heart pounds within me. Death's terrors fall upon me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. Shuddering sweeps over me. I say, if only I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away and find rest. Far away I would flee. I would stay in the desert. I would soon find a shelter from the raging wind and storm. Lord, check and confuse their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city, making rounds on its walls day and night. Within are mischief and trouble. Treachery is in its midst. Oppression and fraud never leave its streets. For it is not an enemy that reviled me, that I could bear, not a foe who viewed me with contempt, from that I could hide. But it was you, my other self, my comrade and friend, you whose company I enjoyed, at whose side I walked in the house of God. Let death take them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their homes and bellies. But I will call upon the Lord, and the Lord will save me. At dusk, dawn, and noon, I will grieve and complain, and my prayer will be heard. He will redeem my soul in peace from those who war against me. Though there are many who oppose me, God, who sits enthroned forever, will hear me and afflict them. Cast your care upon the Lord, who will give you support. He will never allow the righteous to stumble, but you, God, will bring down them destruction to the pit. These bloodthirsty liars will not live half their days, but I put my trust in you. Isn't that something? You know, it wasn't an enemy who did it. It wasn't even a foe. It was my other half. It was my friend. We went to church together. It's betrayal at its worst. And it never ends. I mean, this psalm was written 1,000 years ago. Thousands of years ago. What am I saying? And yet, nothing's changed. That could be me right now. That could be you right now. The world has continued to be what the world has always been. Difficult. Difficult. Do you know why Israel loved the law? The Levitical law? What God sent down to Moses? Not just the Ten Commandments, but the 326 laws for the people. Why did they love them? Because it freed them. They knew how to act when trouble came. All right, you and I as Christians, especially me with an ordination, we can't strike back. Hey, when you read those Psalms and it talks about the enemy, it's not just war. It's the person who is trying to break up your family. It is that rotten person your son married, your daughter married. It's the boss. It's that jerk who's stealing the retirement. It's those idiots at Wall Street who lost your retirement. That's the enemy. And when you see that, when you read these Psalms, and you put those people in the place of the enemy in those Psalms, and that's some comforting stuff right there. So we love the law because we know the commandments and we cannot strike back. God has told us how to behave. I know it, you know it, but it's not always in our hearts, is it? We don't care what God said. We want justice now. We want peace and healing from the pain and illnesses now. We want financial security now. And God says, don't be rash. Wait for it. Wait. You know, John Milton had this quote. He said, sometimes they serve God best who merely stand and wait. Just waiting. And it's this almost a holy concept of waiting on God. John Milton wrote Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. Much of what you think about when you hear about the war between St. Michael and Jesus and Lucifer comes from Milton, not the Bible. Excuse me, dry mouth tonight. But you know how John Milton wrote Paradise Lost? Take a look at the book. It's really, really thick. There's a lot in it. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's been said of Milton that he liked Lucifer better than Christ because he gave the enemy all the best lines. Well, that's true of anything. The enemies, the villains, are more fun to write because there aren't so many rules to them. But anyway, by the time Milton wrote Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained, he had lost his eyesight. He was completely blind. He had two daughters, and he never believed that women were capable of anything, and he refused to allow his daughters to learn to read. Well, Milton is struck blind, and he wants to write Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. So he has his daughters write down for him as he dictates. But because they can't read, he had to write that, I think it's 400 pages like this. A, space, A, N, G, E, L. And that's how he wrote it. I mean, it was tedious work, tedious. Oh, my heavens. And he did it anyway. And that's where that quote comes from. I mean, it's a groan from his heart. Sometimes they serve God best to simply sit and wait. Look at Padre Pio. I adore Padre Pio. He is one of the people who made me convert to Catholicism. I dreamt about him. I read about him. He is a fascinating character. He had the stigmata. The stigmata are the wounds of Christ. They might be bleeding in the head, the hands, the wrists, the feet, the side, all the places where Christ himself was hurt. And Padre Pio, during a deep, ecstatic meditation, felt a person come off of a crucifix and just pierce him. And from then on, he bled from his hands, his feet, and his side. Well, the church shut him away. He was not allowed to have contact with anyone. He was not allowed to say the mass. They were afraid of him. They weren't sure if it was real. He had to be subjected to medical tests, to psychological tests. The church made him wear gloves because he was a monk priest. He had to be obedient. He had to wear gloves. But he had to take the gloves off to say mass. And when you see pictures of him saying mass, you can see the blood just dripping from his hands. And yet, it was excruciatingly painful for him. He lost, they measured this, a doctor measured it, he lost a pint of blood a day. And he lived with that stigmata for, 48 years? 3 days before he died, the stigmata disappeared. And then he died right after saying his last mass at the age of, 81? He was amazing. There are pictures of him holding up the Eucharist, and as he elevates the Eucharist, he just stares at it and goes into an ecstasy, and he wouldn't move or speak for 45 minutes sometimes. That man suffered. The devil used to come into his room at night and beat him. He would come out of his room with split lips and broken noses because they would just come and beat him. That was part of what God allowed to happen to him. And yet, he wrote things like this. Don't lose heart if it is your lot to work a lot and gather little. If you considered what one soul alone costs Jesus, you would never complain. He also wrote this, don't spend your energy on things that generate worry, anxiety, and anguish. Or this, the life of a Christian is nothing but a perpetual struggle against self. There is no flowering of the soul to the beauty of its perfection, except at the price of pain. Look, I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm meant to be an example, and yet I complain. I whine. I get angry. I provoke people. I avoid people. I beg the Lord to remove my pain and rid me of suffering. But I don't ask for strength to bear it or grace to endure. And yet for me, my precious Lord endured the cross. There's a book called A Doctor at Calvary. I'm sorry, Calvary. I always do that. Cavalry's the horses. go check that out because he talks about the physical body and what happened to Christ and what it must have felt like and what it did to him. The whipping, the piercing, the crown of thorns. There are nerves in your temples that go into your brain and into your eyes. And that crown of thorns pierced that region. And this doctor said that is one of the most excruciating pains there is. The Roman whips would have torn Christ's skin off of his back. Just like in the Passion of the Christ that wasn't overdoing it. I used to look at a crucifix and think to myself, why did he die? I mean, it's a bad wound to his hands and feet, but, well, those are clean crucifixes. If you see a realistic one, you'll never want to look at it again. It's just, you turn the corner and you just go, and you cover your mouth because of the wounds. He bled to death on the cross. He bled to death. That's true. That happened. It's not some made-up story, and it isn't a symbol. Your God loved you so much that he endured that cross so that you could get to heaven. And he bled to death, hanging on a cross. And the pain he must have endured in his arms. I mean, you can just feel it in the neck and the head. The worst flu ache you've ever had times a million. And just dying like that. Dying for you and for me. So where is God during my own suffering? He's beside me. He's behind me. He lifts me. He sits me down. He is encouraging me, Christina, keep going. Attend to your work. You'll be at my table soon. That Eucharist is the closest I will ever get to my true rest until I die. My friends, Christ endured it all. All right, he had total abandonment at the moment of his worst torment for us. And what he didn't endure in this life, his mother did. She lost her only child. Every pain in this world Christ had. He saw his friends die. They abandoned him. He was put on trial for something he didn't do. He was spit on and reviled and beaten and tortured. He had rocks in his shoes. He had stomach ailments. He got sick. He had his mother's eyes. He had Joseph's soft voice. He said in Matthew 11, verse 25, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. No, it wasn't. His burden was terrible. Why does he think it was light? Because he abandoned himself and said, Lord, I do what you need me to do. What do you do when something terrible happens in your life? If someone breaks into your house and starts stealing your stuff, and what do? You call 911. I invite you to go to Psalm 91 and start reading at verse 1. That's your 911. This verse is often used in exorcisms or clearing of houses. And here it goes. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shade of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will rescue you from the fowler's snare, from the destroying plague. He will shelter you with his pinions, and under his wings you may take refuge. His faithfulness is a protecting shield. You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that roams in darkness, nor the plague that ravishes at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, near you it shall not come. You need simply watch. The punishment of the wicked you will see, because you have the Lord for your refuge and have made the Most High your stronghold. No evil shall befall you, no affliction come near your tent, for he commanded his angels with regard to you to guard you wherever you go. With their hands they shall support you, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the asp and the viper, trample the lion and the dragon. Because he clings to me, says the Lord, I will deliver him. Because he knows my name, I will set him on high. He will call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in his distress. I will deliver him and give him honor. With length of days I will satisfy him and fill him with my saving power. My friends, much of suffering is due to choice, and not even your own choice. Here's a guy, he goes out to a party, he has too many drinks, and he drives drunk home. He hits the median, spins, and facing in the wrong direction, hit head on by a woman driving home with her children. Her back is broken. One of her three children is dead. Another car sideswipes them, crashes into the pillar. That person breaks his leg and loses his job. The woman can no longer work. She and her remaining two children and her husband lose their house. Four people get stuck in that traffic jam and cannot get to their jobs, and so they get fired. Two other people trapped in that traffic jam are late for events at home and upset all of their friends. And it goes on ad infinitum. It never ends. You know, the two kids with the broken back who lost their sibling are going to be messed up for the rest of their lives because of that. And it was one person's stupid choice. Stupid choice. The sins of the fathers are visited on the generations to come. Why? Well, that's someone who abuses his family, and his children go up to abuse their family, and their children grow up to abuse their family, because it keeps going. Pain, once it's released, just keeps going. I've been in lines where someone has screamed at the clerk because they're late and the clerk's taking too long. Do you know that I have actually, at a drive-through window, gotten out of my car and walked up to the car ahead of me where the woman was abusing the workers and yelled at her? And you're giving someone else pain over nothing. And you're late, then you should have left earlier. And then they now have that pain and take it home. And if they can't absorb it by giving it to God, they'll pass it on by being gruff with someone else. Once pain is unleashed, it keeps going. Now, the rest of suffering is because the world is decaying. It's dying. The universe is unraveling at the edges, and it's all in a slow collapse. That's why we get cancer. We get sick. There are tornadoes. There are tidal waves. It's because of the way nature is. When Adam and Eve caused humanity to fall, all of nature fell. It's no longer in sync. It's all subject to these random forces now. We must endure. We must give ourselves over to God in everything, accepting what is hard to accept. Doing as St. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Folks, how do you get through hard times? Your child is sick and she's not getting better. In fact, you thought she was cured and she's getting worse all of a sudden. And while you endure that, money troubles are at your door for your house. You have things still broken because of a hurricane from last year. You have special needs children. Everything's going wrong, and there's nothing you can do. How after you make it. You can blame God. He doesn't mind. He's big enough. Or you can also blame the circumstances. Or you can do what I do when I get my head out of my butt, which sometimes requires delicate surgery by God. But what I do is I remember that nothing in this world belongs to me. Nothing. My family, my house, the respect of the world, I mean, they're all just accidents and blessings, just part of what's fallen into my life. And when I think about them, and I think about the sufferings of others, there's something inside of me that says, I can release this. It's not mine. Everything belongs to God. The only thing that's mine is my soul. And I will give it back to God someday. And it will be broken and bloody and battered and torn. But he'll take it and he'll glue it back together. And he'll heal it and say, it's done. Why doesn't he fix our problems? Why doesn't he come down and make everything okay? Because he promised us he wouldn't. He promised us free will. And that's the answer, free will. The universe is decaying, in some places anyway. All of creation is falling. So how do we handle it? There's a boat. And without the sail, it's rammed about on the water. I mean, the wind drives the waves and buffets the boat, and it's almost tipping over, and it's taking on water. The wind represents suffering and horrible events and strife in your life. The boat is you. When you lift the sail, which is faith and abandonment and letting go of what you think is yours and remembering everything is God's. When you lift the sail is the moment when you have complete abandonment in God, because that sail is faith. Do you know how big a mustard seed is? It's the size of a large grain of sand. That's all you need. That's all you need to lift your sail. And then the wind, the buffeting, will fill your sails and lead you home. It's no longer destroying the boat. It's moving the boat. The wind doesn't come from God. It brings you to him if you can endure. If you lift the sails and say, bring me home, Lord. I'm an unprofitable servant. I know I don't deserve luxury. I know that you didn't promise life would be easy. You promised it would be life, and so it is. The wind does not come from God. If you endure and lift the sail, God is where you're heading. He's the port. And the amazing thing about our God is that even if our sail is ripped to shreds and flapping in the wind, he always manages to steer us home. If we have a shred of sail, we can get home. And once we get there, God will wipe every tear from our eyes, and mourning and weeping and pain and death will be no more, for the old order will have passed away. Amen. My friends, I'm closing with a song. But first, let us say this prayer. Dear Lord, during this trial, I offer up to you my confusion. Give me clarity. I offer up to you my despair. Give me hope. I offer up to you my weakness. Give me strength. I offer up to you my pettiness. Give me generosity of spirit. I offer up to you all my negative thoughts from Satan, so that when he asks, "Where is your God now?" I may respond, "Right here with me, giving me his grace as a heavenly beam of light penetrating your darkness." Amen. My friends, listen to this song, listen to the words. This really sums up how suffering works to bring us to God. How much does that one make you cry? It gets me every time. Let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the power of the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us pray for the needs of our community, our church, our world, and ourselves. Our response is, Lord, hear our prayer. For Diana and her family, for peace and serenity in their turmoil, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For a dear parishioner who's recovering from a heart attack, God, heal any damage in his body, aid him in his recovery and swiften it, bring him comfort and heal whatever caused this attack. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For young Dylan Jeffries, who flatlined during a game because of a blood clot. Lord, he needs a miracle. Move his blood through the blood vessels. Clear the clots everywhere. Heal the damage. We pray for his family, for peace, for your strength in the coming months as he attempts to recover. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for Lexi, who is still suffering from the after effects of cancer. We pray for TJ, who has special needs and is being denied them. We pray for Archbishop, who is an exorcist and fights the enemy for people suffering. We pray for Carsey, her family, who are losing their home because of financial crisis. Please heal their finances and make their way back to wholeness. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for Greta, who hurt her back, and for her son-in-law, who is extremely ill and needs your healing, Lord. For him, for his family, and for her, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for Cameron, for discernment of your will in his life. He wants to know your plans for his future. Help him to pray to you and learn to find out what your will is for him. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for peace in Syria and in the whole world. Heal the divisions that separate us. Quash the egos and the power grabs. And make people more aware of the pain and suffering they cause, simply to have their own way and to win. After centuries of an eye for an eye, we're all completely blind. Please heal this world, Lord. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for my own health and the protection of my husband and children. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for Mark and protection of his work and his family and a healing of his finances. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for Shelley, for Maggie, for David, and for John, all of whom need cleansing and protection. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for Rachel and her health, for Joanne and John suffering from several ailments. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for all the sick, that they may receive healing and comfort in their distress and be freed from their pain and illness. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the abandoned, especially those in nursing homes. Lord, let them know your presence. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those in prisons, the innocent and the guilty. May they find their forgiveness and their justice in your saving arms. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those serving in our military. Bring them home safely, Lord, and help them in their most difficult duties. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the unborn during Protect Life Month. Lord, move in women's hearts and send them to people who will help them choose life over fear and death. Move in society's heart to ban the cruelest forms of death, partial birth abortions, and all late-term abortions. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the success of this ministry. Lord, please move people's hearts to donate and to volunteer. Help our media push to get out into the world and send people to us who need our guidance and help. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the intentions of the entire Charismatic Universalist community, for those we all name right now in the silence of our hearts. We pray for the dead, especially those who have no one to pray for them, and we pray for those who have passed that we hold in the silence of our hearts. For these and all the departed, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask you in your mercy to hear us and answer our prayers. Keep us safe and protect us from all anxiety. Join our own sufferings to those of your most sacred heart and apply those merits to us to give us the things we need. Holy Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, we place these petitions also in your loving hands, and we ask you to help us by saying, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. My friends, we have prayed for the world. We have prayed for each other. It is now time for us to have our guided meditation. Because we are not physically together, we cannot share in the body and blood of Christ. Instead, we do a guided meditation in which we attempt to visualize Christ in our lives. So I'm going to play a song, one of my absolute favorites, about what God does for us. When the song is over, we'll sit together and do our guided meditation. Please prepare yourselves, get yourselves comfortable for the meditation. This song is about 4.5 minutes long. Thank you. My friends, make sure you're in a comfortable place. I want you to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Breathe in, 2, 3, 4. Out, 2, 3, 4. In, 2, 3, 4. Out, 2, 3, 4. While you continue to breathe like that, I want you to tense up and then relax your feet. Then contract and relax your calves. Contract and relax your thighs. Contract and relax your lower back. Tense and relax your upper back. Tense and relax your hands. Tense and relax your arms. Tense and relax your shoulders. Move your head with your ear towards your shoulder. And then bring it straight again. And then your right ear towards your right shoulder. And then bring it straight again. I want you to imagine that you're walking in a desert. Jesus is walking next to you. As you're walking, I want you to imagine all of the things that are troubling you. It's dusk in the desert and it's beautiful. But you can feel on your back the weight of your sick child. The weight of your financial hell. The weight of your own illnesses and pain. The weight of your disappointments. I want you to imagine that you're carrying a very heavy cross on your right shoulder. And it's just getting heavier and heavier. I want you, while you're walking, to feel the pain of all of the stress in your life. Jesus is next to you, but he says nothing. He just walks. In your mind, I want you to call to him, Jesus, help. And he'll come up to you. And he starts to lift the cross off of your shoulder. And you start to feel that sweet release of pain of carrying it. And then our Lord puts it on his own back. I want you to see him carrying that cross and dragging it in the sand of the desert. And now he has a crown of thorns stuck into his head. His legs are weak. His hair is full of blood. There's skin missing from his back. He wears only a piece of cloth to cover his private area, but nothing else. And you see an endless array of wounds to his side, to his back, to his legs, from the whippings and the nails at the ends of the whips. And Jesus is crying. His blood is running into his eyes. And he continues to carry your stress and your pain. And there are people near you. And they're putting more weight onto that cross. And pinning issue after issue on there. And your heart is moved with pity. And as Jesus falls from weakness, and the cross drops to the ground, you run over and embrace our Lord. And then you pick up his cross to help him. That cross that is your own weight and pain and issues. But this time when you pick it up, it's as light as a balloon. And you swing it around. And you set it in the corner. you can't figure out why it's so light. Now you're back into your living room. And our Lord comes to you. And our Lord says to you, my burden is light. Remember what I endured and what I will do for you. And then the Lord leans in. He wants to tell you about what's happening in your life. He has a special message that will help you endure. And he leans in and he says, and then our Lord lays hands on you, and I want you to feel the Holy Spirit move through your body, and your body starts to feel light, light as air. Just perfectly light as his hands lay on your head. And then he removes his hands and he leaves the room. Should open your eyes and wake up and think about what just happened. Our Lord endured torturous pain for us. And he can give us the strength to endure what we must if we continue in prayer and love and hope. He will never abandon us. He will always be there for us. While you think on this, I'm going to play a song, and then when we come back, we'll finish up our worship.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flows of sin, the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. All the labors of my hands could not meet thy law's demand. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone.
Let us pray. Lord, we are suffering mightily from our own pains and stress. The world around us sometimes just seems as though it's collapsing. We cry out to you, and yet we hear nothing, no response. Lord, please come to us in our pain. Teach us to let go. Teach us to trust you, to have at least the faith of a mustard seed, a shred of sail, because then we will be free if we trust you and know that you make all things good, even our mistakes. Amen. Our time together has ended. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord by always loving and serving each other. Thanks be to God. Please bow your head for God's blessing. Lord, please come upon your people. Give them strength, give them hope, and give them comfort in all of their infirmities and all of their difficulties and obstacles in life. Amen. Lord, we ask your healing upon those suffering from pain and illness. Make them whole. Do not delay your healing or comfort. Take away their illness. You said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be opened for you. I beg you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit, especially upon Lexi, and remove what is ailing her, Lord. I beg you, come down, Holy Spirit, Lord, giver of life, and surround that girl. Go into those bedrooms and change everything so that she is completely healed. Lord, I ask you this through your Sacred Heart, with your mother's intercession, please come upon this girl and rescue her from this infirmity. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I apologize, got a little charismatic there for you. I just learned about a couple of very, very difficult infirmities for some young people. And my heart breaks for all of my parishioners. You've all come to me and told me about things that you need prayer for. And I was just sick in my heart for what people endure in this life. It's not fair. It's wrong. And yet, it forms us. I don't know what to say to anybody suffering from that, especially if they have a child suffering from that. Well, I love you all. I wish you well this week. May God bless your week. May God bless your weekend. I hope you'll join us tomorrow night at 7 for episode 4 in our How to Pray series. That episode will be about intercession, praying for others, praying for yourself. How does it work? And if you ask God to bless someone else and that's not part of his plan, he's not going to. And he already knows their needs, so he could just come anyway. So what's the point of praying? Well, I'll answer that. I'll answer a lot of questions about the saints, about prayer for the dead. I think at the end of that episode, you're really going to understand how this whole crazy prayer thing works. My friends, God bless your week. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I hope it is quiet. I hope it is happy. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week, folks.